السلام عليكم ورحمة الله شيخ سالم.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
على الشيخ إن شاء الله. You are well شيخ. إن شاء الله شيخ you are well.
الحمد لله الحمد لله.
الحمد لله. We can begin إن شاء الله.
يا الله.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. وبعد brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته, and welcome to our weekly درس of مسائل الجاهلية delivered by our honorable Sheikh Sheikh Salim Al-Amri. I will pass the mic on the screen to the Sheikh. Sheikh can begin إن شاء الله. فليتفضل مشكورا شيخنا Sheikh Salim Al-Amri.
جزاك الله خير. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا, إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له, وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له, وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد, فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى, وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, وشر الأمور محدثاتها, وكل محدثة بدعة, وكل بدعة ضلالة, وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, today is our weekly class, Masail al-Jahiliyyah, Issues of Jahiliyyah. And we are talking about the Jahiliyyah of the Arabs. The Jahiliyyah of the Arabs. And some common characteristics of famous, known traits in the Arabs they were practicing. Among these traits, characteristics, is النياحة, النياحة على الميت, which means bewailing and lamenting over the deceased. So they bewail, they lament, they exceed the limits in their mourning, they tear their clothes, they pull their hairs, slap their cheeks, and this is also found in other communities. Even today. You see, my dear brothers and sisters, Islam gives the human being the guidance, the direction, informs him about his position, his relation with his surroundings, what is his place in this creation, what is his role, all the existential questions that puzzled the philosophers throughout history. Islam answered them. So this gives the Muslim this serenity, clarity, peace of mind. He knows he is in this life for a while, then he will move to another life, another phase, then another eternal life. So it's not the end of it when you lose one of your beloved ones. Because soon you will join him. Yes, you will miss him for a while, couple of years, but then you will meet him again or her again. As human beings, yeah, we'll feel sad for a while, and that's it. We'll carry on with our life. And we do not object to Allah's qadr, to what Allah decrees. You know, this is something all of us will go through it. This is the cup, everyone will drink from it. Everyone will taste death, and everyone will die. Okay, no exception. And we remember the role models, the most beloved ones to Allah, Allah's prophets and messengers. They died. Our beloved Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam died. And that's why he said, whenever one of you is struck with a calamity, or he's bereaved by losing one of his dear ones, beloved ones, he should remember my death. That will soothe him. That will soothe his worries, his anxiety. That will cool him. That will bring peace into his heart. So death, my dear brothers and sisters, in Islam, our perception of death, the concept of death, is not the end, is not the termination of this life. No. It's the beginning of the real life. Actually, it is a relief. Death is a relief for the pious and the righteous from this worldly life, which is full of worries, full of hardships, full of anxieties, full of name it. You're going to move to another life. No more obligations, no more do's and don'ts. Just bliss and enjoyment, everlasting enjoyment. It begins with the pious, the righteous, the moment this soul leaves this body. So that's why when you read the stories of the Salaf and the Sahaba, when they are dying, they are aspiring, because they are looking forward. Their souls are yearning to meet their Lord. Sayyidina Bilal was chanting in his bed of death, غَدًا نَلْقَى الْأَحِبَّةِ مُحَمَّدًا وَصَحْبَهُ. So tomorrow, okay, I'm going to meet my beloved ones, my beloved Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and his illustrious companions. Sayyidina Uthman was ready to give his life to meet his Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Sahaba, because he had a dream and he was fasting. And he was told, you will break the fast with us. That means before, when you die and this time of fasting, you will be already with us in Jannah. So this is the perception, Muslims' perception of death. But someone who doesn't believe in the second life, in the hereafter, to him, this is it. This is life. and nothing after that. So he doesn't want to leave this world. So when he loses, he or she loses someone who is very dear, it is a great loss because he is not going to see him or her again. And that's why you know how what they do to the body, they cremate it, they burn it. Because to them, finish, it's gone. Well, we Islam now, we say, no. He is going to another phase. So we honor the deceased. We clean him. We give him the burial wash. We perfume and put scent, the most beautiful scents and beautiful clothes, white sheets. And we pray for him. And then we replace him and lower him into this second phase of life, which will begin in his grave. So alhamdulillah, say alhamdulillah that you are Muslim. Say alhamdulillah. And try to understand your Islam. So death should not frighten you. It is just the beginning of another life. What should frighten you am I preparing myself for the second phase of life and the third phase? Am I leading righteous, pious life so that the moment I am lowered into my grave, I start enjoying the beginning of that eternal life? That's what we should worry you. So if you are ready, obeying your Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your Lord, all the time, leading your life in this world according to what he likes and what he loves, then you don't worry. Our Shaykh bin Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, he said, لَقَدْ اشْتَاقَ ابْنُ السَّبْعِينَ لِلِقَاءِ رَبِّهِ. اشْتَاقَ ابْنُ السَّبْعِينَ. Okay, he's saying the son who crossed 70 years is longing forward to meeting his Lord. The servant of Allah who crossed 70 years, who's 70 years old, he has shauq, longing, nostalgia, yearning, looking forward to meeting his Rabb. This is how the pious and the righteous perceive death. But the mushriks, no. That's why they misbehave and they do all these unacceptable behaviors. So the Arabs used to bewail, lament, all these things. I mentioned to you many times the Al-Khansa. Al-Khansa, she was a poetess. And one of the famous poets, she was competing with the male poets. Her brother, Sakhr, died. She mourned for a long period of time over his death. She was crying all the time. She composed many poems. Then she became Muslimah. And see what Islam did to her. the paradigm shift in our way of thinking. This is what the Islam does. The paradigm, your perspective will be shifted. There will be paradigm shift. And your outlook will be completely different. And you will be having this positive outlook. And that's what happened to Khansa. So, in one of the battles, she called her children who are participating, her sons, their men, Mujahideen, there were four. She said, "All my sons, I don't want to see any one of you to come back alive. I want you all to be martyred. And we will meet in the Jannah." So now her concept, her outlook, her perception is different. When her brother died, she was crying all the time. Now, no. The moment they are martyred, they are flying in the Jannah. She knows that now. And soon I will join them. And that's what Allah honored her. All her sons, children were martyred. And when she received the news, she praised Allah, who honored her by accepting her children as martyrs. See what Islam does when you understand it. So, the way we Muslims perceive death as a reality, because that's what Allah told us about it. We don't behave like the people of Jahiliyyah. So Allah says in Surah Al-Mulk, and by the way, this surah, you read it every night before you go to sleep, because it reminds you the role, your role in this life and the purpose of this life. So you read Surah Al-Mulk, and you read Al-Flamin, Surah Al-Sajdah, and the end of Surah Al-Baqarah, and Ayat Al-Kursi, and Qul Ya Ayyuhal Kafirun. This every night you do. So Allah says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا وهو العزيز الغفور. الله أكبر. تبارك الذي, blessed is the one, blessed is the one in whose hands rest all authority, all the dominion of this kingdom. And he is most capable of everything. He is the one who created death. So death is something created. And that's why death will die at the end. Allah will materialize this death which he created in the form of a ram, and then it will be slaughtered. And it will be said, and the people of the hellfire, the people of Jannah will be told, no more death. You live therein forever. All people of the hellfire, stay there. Remain there forever. All people of Jannah remain there forever. So death is something created. Not just the soul. Allah created the soul, which we have no clue. We have no information about it. It is to us a mystery. Allah didn't tell us anything about it. Apart from that, he has created the soul. So the soul also created. created. That's why it flows when you are dying. It comes out. May Allah make it easy for us, for our souls to come out, to flow, just like a drop of water coming from the mouth of the bag of skin, or skin bag. Okay, just like when you are pouring the water from the jug or from the pitcher, whatever. So it flows easily. So it flows. So it is something material. And the angel of death communicates with it, talks to it. So the soul of the pious righteous is so obedient and it comes easy with him. The soul of the disbeliever doesn't want to leave the body. So he has to pull her and pull it away by force. So the soul is created in the same way death is created. So he is the one who created death and life. So see the contrast. Each one is the opposite of the other. So he created death and he created life. What for? He explained to us. See, that's why these questions, the existential question, why are we here? To worship Allah. What's the purpose of our life? To worship Allah. That's what he told us, that I created you to worship me. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ لَلْيَعْبُدُونَ I've created jinn and mankind only to worship me. Who brought us into this fire? Allah. What is needed from us to worship him? How? In this way. When are we going to leave this world? He knows there is limited period. Where are we going to? Eternal life. So all these questions, any Muslim, these questions, even today, people who are educated philosophers, they don't know. Because this hidayah, they don't have any access to it. They are in the dark. Whereas any Muslim, he knows. He knows the answers to all these questions, perplexing questions, confusing questions. He knows the answer to that. Because Allah told us, alhamdulillah. Tabaraka alladhi biyadihi al-mulk. Okay? So he's the one who created death and life in order to test which of you is best in deeds, is best in deeds. And he is the Almighty, all forgiven. So let us reflect. Tabarakalladhi. So Allah is full of barakah, full of blessing, is the source of all blessings. Alladhi biyadihi al-mulk. The dominion is in his hand. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything is in his hand. The kingdom is in his hand. He runs this cosmos, this universe, his creation, according to his divine wisdom and divine knowledge. So he is the real owner. He's the sovereign. He's the king. No king but Allah. He's the real owner. Maliki Yawm al-Din. He is the owner of the day of judgment, the day of reckoning. On that day, he asks, Liman al-Mulku al-Yawm? To whom does the kingdom belong? Who is the real king today? Who is the real owner? No one was there to utter a word. All heads are down. All dictators' heads are down. All those arrogant are in state of humiliation. Then the answer comes to that question. Lillahi al-wahid al-qahhar. Kingdom belongs lillah, to Allah, to God. The one, al-qahhar, the subduer, the one who subdues everyone, the one who lowers the arrogant. تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير. It is most capable, powerful, able, everything. Nothing is difficult for him. Some ignorant, they keep asking, why he created us? He told you why he created you. He told you why he created you. You don't know? The reason they pose such question, because they are not fulfilling their obligations towards their creator. So because they failed in the test, and they are worshiping their bodies, their desires, their whims, so they are trying to find an excuse for their sinfulness, for their misbehaviors, for their disobedience. Allah created you to worship him. You didn't worship him. You didn't listen to what he told you. And in life, I don't know why you contradict yourself. You don't pose the question. You don't pose the question for the new inventions, new products that are coming. You don't say why they made, why did Steve Jobs made the iPad, for example. You don't raise this question. You enjoy it. You like it. You don't say why they made the mobile phone. Because you see the benefit of it. So Allah created you and placed you on this planet to cultivate this planet, to use its resources, and to enjoy life in this world, and to lead righteous life and upright conduct. And he told you, your stay is only for a short period of time. Your real home is the Jannah, and I want you to go to the Jannah. So just this is a training session for you, period for you. It is like when you are, before you graduate, you go through the internship. Internship, that means now you are going to graduate, so you should know the real stuff, the real life, the nature of life. So the university will tell you, okay, for 3 months, this is internship. You go out there, okay, in the field, and you work with your hands and you feel the real life. So they are preparing you to play your role in this life. So this dunya, just like that, that's how you should perceive it. You're in this internship period for you. You should pass the test. Okay. And then you will go to your real home. تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير الذي خلق الموت والحياة. Because he is قدير, he created the death and life. What for? Why did he create us? He said, he told us. And he gave us the reason. ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا. To test you. Which of you is best indeed? Why? What is the need of the test? The need of the test is to establish justice. That's the need of it, justice, to manifest his divine justice. Is it fair? Okay, in school, for example, to treat all the students the same and give all of them A's, those who had sleepless nights, those who revised, those who worked hard, those who had private tutors, like those who didn't open their books and give them all A's. Is it fair? The answer, no, it's not fair. Definitely not. That's why education is given to all. Lectures are given to all. Professor gave teachers all. And now it's up to the student. Everyone now has to show how much he grasped, how much he comprehend, how much he learned. How to prove that? Put it on black and white. Put it on that piece of paper. So that will be evidence for me as a teacher that yes, I delivered the course. And this is the result, the percentage of success, those who succeed, 90%. That means I am a good teacher. Good teacher. So, and those who failed, they cannot complain. Why? Because this is the evidence. See? These are your answers. You were wasting your time. Your colleagues were revising, working hard. You were hanging around, going out with your pals, with your friends, wasting time. So you blame no one but yourself. Your colleagues worked hard. This is what they deserve. And that's why we'll give them this certificate. And they will go out, real life, and they will get the best jobs and profession. This will be a doctor. This one will be an engineer. And you will be maybe one of those homeless, or beggars, or porters in the harbor carrying stuff on your back because you didn't work hard and you blame no one but yourself. So that's why Allah created this death and life, so that your places in the Jannah will be according to your certificate in the dunya, to your amal. What did you do? It's not fair that those who obeyed Allah And those who disobeyed Allah should be treated the same. It's not fair. One who prays five times a day, gets up at night, leading righteous life, avoiding sins, and someone who's leading a free life, sinning, committing everything haram. There's no fairness to treat them the same. So everyone has to be rewarded according to his performance, according to what he did in this life. Then, on top of that, Allah's mercy, sometimes Allah will forgive. Okay. Some who they tried and they did good deeds, bad deeds. So Allah is most merciful and kind, so he will forgive them. But of course, because they disobeyed him, so all these sins they committed, he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will make them to expiate these sins. And these sins will be expiated and washed away by the trials in the dunya test. Because they committed sins. So they have to be clean. So they will fall sick, they will have problems, they will have troubles and all these things. So all these trials and tribulations that happen to you to cleanse and wash away the sins. So that when you die, you will not be held accountable. So you go to Jannah. That's why it is a sign of Allah's mercy and it is a sign of Allah's love. Allah's love for you when he tests you. إِذَا حَبَّ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا ابْتَلَاهُ. When Allah loves someone, he tests him. He is not testing us to know what we are going to do. He knows that what we are going to know. But to establish an evidence against ourselves. The teacher knows those lazy students. He knows for sure that they are going to fail. He knows that. But he cannot announce a result without a test. He cannot fail them without giving them the test, because they will object and say, did you test us? Where is the proof? See, that's what they will do. So now, after the test, this is the proof. So shut up. You failed because this is your work. So on the day of resurrection, this is your book. This is your book. Read it. Your book will be handed to you. Your record will be handed to you. Read it. When the time is come, time, place, the time you committed this sin, read. Is there anything you didn't do? So no one will dare to open his mouth to object. Allah knows our nature that we argue. And now there will be writing. I know that this is what is going to happen, but I was not going to punish you based on my divine knowledge. No. You will be held accountable based on your deeds and this what you did. And read your record. Read your record. You are enough an eyewitness against your own self. You are the witness against your own self. Read it. And you will never find anything that you did missing. Never find anything. So for that reason, Allah created us and he puts us through the test, and they are writing so that we cannot complain and object on the day of resurrection. Not because he doesn't know, he knows. الذي خلق الموت وَالْحَيَاةَ who created death and life, لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ, to test you. Okay? To test you. And see. Who's going to pass this test and who's going to fail? لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Which one of you, أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, is best in deeds? Which one of you abide by my teachings, by my instructions? Which one of you? Which one of you follow the Kitab and Sunnah? Which one of you followed innovations and bid'ah? So if you want your amal to be accepted, stick to the Kitab and Sunnah. وهو العزيز الغفور. I always request you to ponder upon the names of Allah and how Allah chooses the names by which He concludes the verse of the ayah. وهو العزيز الغفور. He mentioned two beautiful names. العزيز, the mighty. Because this creation and this kingdom needs might, needs power. So he's Aziz. He's not weak. He's not weak. He's the most powerful, Subhana, the Almighty, Al-Aziz. And then he, after mentioning his power, his might, he mentioned another name. Though I am all powerful, almighty, I am the most forgiving one. My mercy overcomes my anger. My mercy precedes my anger. So that's why I forgive you, because I know your shortcomings. And I know the points of your weakness. So remember that I forgive. So you can come to me. Return to me. And beg me. And I will accept you and I will forgive you. So this is the perception of the Muslims regarding death. Also Allah said, which is totally different from the perception of the non-Muslim. Allah says, Surah Ali Imran, ayah 185, telling us the reality about this life, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَّوْنَ أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. Every soul will taste death, and you will only receive your full reward on the day of judgment. Whoever is spared from the fire and is admitted into paradise will indeed triumph, whereas the life of this world is no more than the delusion of enjoyment. Let us ponder on this beautiful ayah. Kullu nafsin dha'iqat, no exception. So all souls, all living beings, all human beings will taste death, taste it. We will go through with this, everyone. So this is the reality that no one can deny, even the atheist, the agnostics, they know. They are going to die. فكل نفس ذائقة الموت. Why? You are not supposed to be here forever. You have been told. It is internship. It is training session. It is a course for you to attend. It's over. The term is over. Finish. You have to go. So every soul will taste death. وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَّوْنَ أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Your wages, you worked here. So your paycheck, metaphorically, your reward, your wages will be paid to you on the day of resurrection. And your resurrection, your qiyamah, begins the moment you die. The moment you die, you will receive your reward. وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَّوْنَ أُجُورَكُمْ, and you will only receive your full reward on the day of judgment. The full reward, you will receive it, that is the Jannah. But the moment you die, you will start enjoying your reward and experience that life and taste the pleasures of it and the blessings of that life, which is the real life, which is the Akhirah, the Jannah. Here in the qabr, in the grave, you have this transitional phase. وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَّوْنَ أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. That's why, my dear brothers and sisters, this ayah should teach us ikhlas, that we seek our wages only from Allah, our reward from Allah. From Allah. We don't expect a reward from anyone. So when you are doing good deeds, do it for the sake of Allah. You are in a da'wah organization, you are in a charity organization, whatever good deed you are doing, don't expect anything in return. Never do that. Don't expect it. Okay? Expect your reward only from Allah. إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمْكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ. We feed you for the sake of Allah. We don't want from you to thank us or to reward us. We don't want it. Our reward, we will receive it from Allah. أَوَمَا ضَعَيْشَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا. She would tell whenever she sent food to the poor, she would tell her servant, wait and see and listen to what they say, and then inform me. So the servant would come to her and he would tell her, they said this, they prayed for you, they made dua for you. So immediately, radiallahu anha, because she was a scholar, she was a jurist, she was faqiha, she would pray for them and she would make dua for them so that they prayed for her, she prayed for them. So they break even. And she wants the reward of her sadaqah from Allah, not from them. Because she was afraid that their dua is the reward for her. She doesn't want that. What she wants and what she wanted, that the reward from Allah. So they make dua for me, I make dua for them. So we break even, dua for dua. So the reward of my sadaqah now is with Allah. And this shows her smartness and intelligence. So always, my dear brothers and sisters, seek your reward from Allah Azza wa Jalla. And do things for the sake of Allah. وَإِنَّمَا توفون أجوركم يوم القيامة. So most certainly and your reward, you will receive your reward in full on the day of judgment. Then Allah said, فمن زحزح عن النار وادخل الجنة فقد فاز. Whoever is زحزح. See this verb, زحزح عن النار. You know, زاح يزيح means to move, to displace. Okay, I have an object here. زحته. Okay, I displaced it, I moved it. So I was saying, فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ. Whoever is pushed away, displaced, moved away, زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ. Imagine, you are pulled away from the fire and then taken to the Jannah. Imagine this. You are taken away from the fire, away from the fire, and you are admitted to the Jannah. Whoever is spared from the fire, because you are zuhzih, you are moved, taken away from it. فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ. And that's why all of us will pass over the hellfire. وَإِن مِّنكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا. Every one of you will see it. Some will fall into it. May Allah save us from that. And some will pass over the Sirat. May Allah make us among them. Ameen Ya Rab. So all of us will see the hellfire. To see it. وَمِنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا. Because the wurud not necessarily means entering it. Okay. We say وَرَدَ الْمَا. وَرَدَ الْمَا. Wurud means to go to the place of water. That's the meaning of wurud. This is the water, so you go to the place of water. Okay, so you take your sheep, you take your camel, your horses, your cow, to the place of water, to the brook, to the stream, to the fountain, to the pool, whatever. Okay, but not necessarily because I went to the place of water that I drink water. Maybe I was not thirsty, so I didn't drink. So the wurud to the hellfire, seeing it, passing over it. So all they cross, and some they fall, and some they are delivered. May Allah make us among those who will cross the sirat quickly and fastly. Ameen. فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ. And now he's taken away from the hellfire. Okay, he saw it. Allah saved him from it. Okay, وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ فَقَدْ فَازَ. So whoever is spared from the fire and is admitted into paradise, فَقَدْ فَازَ. Indeed, he succeeded, triumphed, فَقَدْ فَازَ. And you see the beauty of Arabic. Allah is using past tense. He was admitted, displaced, moved away, past tense, fa'al madi, faz, he succeeded. Though these things haven't happened yet, will happen in the future. But to Allah, it's already done. Because to Allah, there is nothing called future, present, past. No, 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 the same. It's over. It's done. But the translators, when they are translating it in order to save the mind of the reader from getting confused, so they use it in the future tense. Whoever is spared from the fire and is admitted into the paradise will indeed triumph. Because this is what is going to happen. But to Allah, he said, he already succeeded. He succeeded. فَقَدْ فَاز. Then Allah said, وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. Reminding us, telling us the reality of this world, the reality of the dunya. Whereas the life of this world, al-hayatul dunya, this worldly life, 60 years, 70 years, 100 years, it's nothing. It's just like a blink of an eye. You don't feel it. Just yesterday, those who have gray hair like me, just close your eyes and remember your childhood. Yesterday, you were a kid. You were playing in the alleys. Yesterday. And today, you are on the verge of the grave. Just like that, like the flash of light. Youth passes swiftly, like a thought. Yesterday, you were a boy, your school days, teenagers. Making troubles for your parents. Then you became mature, adult, you got married, you had children. Children grew up in no time. Yesterday you were carrying them as kids. Today, when you talk to them, you have to raise your head. They are taller than you. Just like that. When only we realize that we are getting old when we see our children. Oh, there is a reference. They are grown up now. They are not kids anymore. And now you are grandpa. Finish. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا. This dunya, this worldly life. I was telling us. إلا متاع الغرور. It's no more than the delusion of enjoyment. Enjoyment of this dunya is just a dream. Illusory. Transient. All the pleasures of it. Where are the pleasures? Tell me, that you experience. Where are they? Gone. Gone. They're not there. If these pleasures were okay, done in the halal manner, alhamdulillah. But if these pleasures, okay, you enjoy them in haram, they have gone. But the bitterness and the aftermath of it are there. The bitterness of the sins are there on your tongue. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. And we'll conclude, insha'Allah, with this beautiful hadith. رواه الإمام مسلم في صحيحه عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم اثنان في الناس هما بهم كفر الطعن في النسب والنياحة على الميت. Remember in the beginning, the trait or these characteristics or this ignoble quality of the Arabs was bewailing and lamenting over the deceased. This hadith talks about that. رواه مسلم. أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه may Allah be pleased with him said, the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, two things are signs of disbelief on the part of those who indulge in them. Slandering one's lineage and wailing over the dead. So these two ignoble qualities, they exist and will remain. They persist and they exist in the behavior of many Muslims. They will have still, people will keep indulging in these two and experiencing and adopting and manifesting and practicing these bad, ignoble qualities. Ithnan fi nas. Two things are signs of disbelief. Of course, this disbelief or kufr is the kufr of ni'mah. Okay, this will not take you out of the fold of Islam. But it is just like in the hadith of women that they are the majority of the hellfire, people in the hellfire, because yakfurna al-ashir wa yakfurna al-la'an, they are ungrateful to yakfurn. Doesn't mean they disbelieve in Allah, but they are ungrateful to their husbands and they curse a lot and they swear a lot. Two things are signs of disbelief on the part of those who indulge in them. What are these two ignoble qualities that a Muslim should not have? At-ta'nu fi an-nasab. You belittle others and you look upon them and you say, oh no, my ancestors are better than your ancestors. My predecessors are more better than yours. So you try to put him down, okay, and you slander his lineage, his ancestry, his line of all his fathers. So you are criticizing that and critiquing that. So slandering one's lineage, ta'nu fi an-nasab. والنياحة عن الميت. The second ignoble quality is wailing over the dead. This is still there, existing Muslims, they have this bad habit, talking, we are this, we are that, we are this, we are from this family, okay, you cannot marry from us and all that stuff. We are better than you. So this is jahiliyyah. Non-Muslims, they have it. They have this. Oh, don't you see the white man? He always looks down upon the others. Mentality of the colonizers. They have this still. Still, they expect everyone to tell them, oh, yes, sir, and to bow. They expect that. They are still living in that, with that mindset. Okay? We are white race. We are the white people, the white man. So they still have that mentality. See, when the war broke between Russia and Ukraine, you could go to the YouTube and you hear the journalists. Oh, those people are not like others. They are like us. Why? It's not fair that they suffer. Others should suffer and should go to hell. But those, no. See the jahiliyyah? Not they are human beings like the rest. And we have to be fair with all. وَالنِّيَاحَةُ عَلْ مَيِّتِ And wailing of the dead. People, someone dies. Women in particular. They cry. In some countries, they hire women to cry. Hire them. Yes, they pay money for them. You come, okay, to the place of the family of the deceased and cry and make all the women to cry. And this is a major sin, the bewailers. This hadith also beautiful, which is in Sahih Imam Muslim, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, عن أبي مالك الأشعري قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أربع في أمتي من أمر الجاهلية لا يتركونهن الفخر في الأحساب والطعن في الأنساب والاستسقاء بالنيوم والنياحة قال النائحة إذا لم تتب قبل موتها تقام يوم القيامة وعليها سربال من قطران ودرع من جرب رواه مسلم. The meaning, very scary, listen to the sisters. Abu Malik al-Ash'ari رضي الله عنه reported Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم saying, among my people, there are four characteristics belonging to the pre-Islamic period, which they do not abandon. They will carry on doing these ignoble practices and keep holding and following these bad things, bad qualities. What are they? Boasting of high rank. You boast of your ancestors. Reviling others' people's genealogies. So you boast yours, you praise your ancestors, and revile and lower the people's lineage and genealogies. The third one, seeking rain by the stars and wailing. So these are the four things. People will be boasting about their forefathers and at the same time reviling, criticizing, lowering, looking upon others, reviling other people's ancestors, genealogies, line of lineage. And the third ignoble quality, characteristics, seeking rain by the stars. What does it mean? They attribute the fall of the rain to the particular star. So, because of this star, that's why the rain fell down. The rain will not fall except by Allah's leave, by Allah's permission, not by the movement of that celestial body in the sky. That has nothing to do with the rain or with your destiny or with your fate. Seeking rain by the stars. And finally, the fourth ignoble quality, wailing. Okay, crying, lamenting. Women, they pull their hair in some countries. When someone dies, or they do funny stuff. Tear the clothes, slap the cheeks. Oh, my dear husband, oh, my dear son, oh, my dear father, etc. Then the Prophet ﷺ said regarding their punishment, those people. And he said, if the wailing woman, especially the wailing woman, he mentioned, and he said, if the wailing woman does not repent before she dies, she will be made to stand on the day of resurrection wearing a garment of tar. You know that petroleum product, black stuff, substance? Wearing a garment of tar and a chemise of mange. A chemise is a form of garment. And a chemise of mange. The mange is a skin disease. She will have that skin disease. This chemise is of that disease, which will be eating her skin. This normally happens to animals. So this is what will happen to the bewailer, the wailing woman. So women should fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and should quit practicing such bad habits. What is permissible when we lose one of our beloved ones? Yes, we grieve. We feel sad, that's natural. We might shed tears, but without screaming, without crying. Shedding tears, normal. The Prophet, when his son Ibrahim passed away, his eyes were welling up with tears. And when he was asked, he said, this is a sign of Rahmah, a sign of mercy. Allah puts it in the hearts of whomever he wills. That's okay. We are human beings. We are not machines. We are not robots. But to go beyond that, that is not permissible. And the deceased will be punished in the grave because of this wailing and lamentation. Why? The ulama, they explained. Because he or she knows that this is the custom, this is the practice. And this is what the people are doing. And he or she did not warn his family. He did not tell his family, I don't want anyone to cry or wail or lament. I don't want wailing and lamentation and all these things. They are haram. So you warn the people. And you write in your will, I am innocent of anyone who acts to the opposite of what I mentioned in my will. So if you do that, even if they cry and wail, you will not be harmed. But if you know and you didn't warn them, then you will be punished in the grave. May Allah save us from going astray. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us to the straight path, to the haqq, to the kitab and sunnah. Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala end our lives in the way that pleases Him and make us die upon the Islam and make the Jannah our abode. Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us remain steadfast in this dunya, on this beautiful deen, till we meet Allah and find Him pleased with all of us. Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us our faults and mistakes and ignorance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite ummah on the haqq and unite our hearts on the haqq. And may Allah reward all of you, my dear brothers and sisters, immensely for your patience and attendance. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakumullahu khaira. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah khair for the beneficial lesson. Please, brothers and sisters, please send me your feedback on tonight's lesson. Barakallah feekum. If it's okay with Sheikh Salam, can we take some questions?
Inshallah, go ahead.
Okay. If someone is praying and they don't feel muddy in some positions, but then have more certainty when in different positions, then should the person make up the salah? I've asked the person to clear this. This is it's a sister. And it's the thought is coming during the prayer.
See, listen to me, my dear sisters. Many sisters, they hasten and they rush. Okay? Thinking that they are clean when they are not. That's why the women at the time of Aisha, radiallahu anha, they used to send her pieces of cottons soaked with the fluid, asking Aisha, am I clean? Can I start? And she used to tell them, wait until you see the fluid as white as silver. Okay, so you know your period, you know your menstrual cycle, and you haven't seen the sign of purity, which is whitish. So you are seeing something muddy, that means this is part. The muddy fluid, as long as it is a continuation, before seeing the white sign, it is considered part of your period. So you wait, and the period can, the menstrual cycle, can increase or decrease. Okay, so maybe your period is 5 days. Now, that means on the fifth day, you see the sign of purity. Now, it's sixth day, there is this muddy fluid, colored. Seventh, the same. Eighth, the same. You see the sign of purity on the ninth day. So the period increased. Okay. Or sometimes it can reduce, will become short. Your period 7 days, you saw the sign of purity on the first or the sixth. Okay, so now you are clean. Go and take a shower. Don't say, oh, normally my period is this, and now it became ahead of time, finish ahead of time, so I'm still in period. No. It can increase or decrease. So, but this muddy fluid or colored fluid, after the sign of purity, you saw the sign of purity, you took a shower, the day after, there is this fluid, which is muddy. You just neglect it and ignore it. It's not part of your menses, not part of your period. You just ignore it, take a shower, and you live your life normally. You read the Quran, you pray, you sleep with your husband, everything is normal. And that's what Umar said, كُنَّا لَا نَعُدُّ الْكُدْرَةَ وَالصُّفْرَ بَعْدَ الطُّهْرِ شَيْئًا. We would not pay attention or consider the kudra, something colored, the colored fluid, or yellowish fluid. We would not pay attention to it. Just ignore it. Is this clear to the questioner?
Yes, inshallah, but she's asking about the release, that's the fluid that comes when she has a sexual thought during prayer.
Okay, so the discharges, the women, they have discharges, which they call it ifrazat tabi'iyya, this natural discharges, normally all women they have. Okay, first of all, is it najis or is it tahir? This is question number one. The natural discharge of a woman, which is always this secretions coming out, is it impure or is it pure? So the ulama who are saying it is najis because they say it came from this place of the urine. Okay, so they treat it like the urine, so they're saying it is najis. One opinion. The other opinion says, no, it is not najis. The natural discharge of a woman is not najis because it's not coming from the bladder. Okay? It's not coming from the bladder. This is something coming from the genitalia, okay, or from the uterus. And Aisha radiallahu anha said, I used to wipe the semen from the Prophet's garment when it is wet and scratch it when it is dry, and he would pray in it, in that garment, and while the traces are still visible. So naturally, man's fluid, the seminal fluid, when a man is making love and having intimacy with his partner, with his wife, spouse, the fluid, they mixed seminal fluid with the discharge of the woman, with woman's fluid. And the Prophet ﷺ, he did not consider that najis. He prayed in his garment, though the semen is mixed with the fluid of the woman. So this is regarding the tahara and najasa of this natural discharge. Okay, is it najis and pure, or is it pure? The strongest, it is pure. Okay. This will help us that if it touches your garment, okay, and you prayed, is your salah valid? The answer, if we say it is najis, okay, if you take that opinion, then the salah is invalid because there is a najasa. But if we take the opinion that it is, and this is the strongest, and even our Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah, he had two opinions. Before, he was using, considered like the Juran, but then when he was discussed and the information was provided, he holds the opinion that it is pure. Okay? Our Shaykh al-Bani, this holds the opinion that it's pure, and others. So the strongest opinion that it is tahir. So now, women, they have a problem. They have some of them, this fluid is always coming out. She takes wudu, and now she started the salah, and this natural discharge is coming. What should you do? She just continue praying, and her salah is correct. She's performing tawaf. And this natural fluid is coming out. Should she leave the tawaf and no, continue your tawaf and pray the two rak'ahs and then go and do the sa'i between Safa and Marwa, because many women, for them, this is theirs all the time. Now, coming to the question that the questioner posed, if he was in the salat, if he is talking about something different, not talking about the natural discharge, She's saying sexual thoughts. Okay, that means what? She was fantasizing in the salah, imagining something in the salah. That means the body reacted. Okay, the body reacted. That's different now if she started discharging madhi, for example. This was fluid, lubricant. So if she was entertaining that idea and started releasing fluid, then it is not like the natural one. She knows herself very well. But if she meant that this is the natural discharge that is normally there, women, they have this, then the answer I already gave. I hope this is clear to the questioner.
Inshallah, it'll get back to me if it isn't. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Could you give an example of how a Muslim might betray trusts?
An example how a Muslim what?
Might betray their a trust.
Betray the trust?
Yes.
This is one of the signs of the nifaq, amali, the signs of what we call hypocrisy of practice. وَإِذَا أَتُمِنَ خَانَ. So when you trust him, he betrays. For example, you give someone money and say, leave it with you, or valuable item. So this is amana, trust, I leave it with you. And then when he came to collect it, he said, no, you didn't give me anything. He denied. So this, he betrayed the amana. Okay. So whatever trust you give to a Muslim and then return to be not trustworthy, that is betrayal of the trust or the amana. And this is a sign of nifaq. Sign of hypocrisy. I hope this is clear to the questioner. Next.
Crystal, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. Salaam alaikum, Sheikh.
Salaam alaikum.
Is there a prescribed dua for a woman who is in labor to recite?
This question was asked before, and I answered no, there's no special dua. There's no special dua to reduce the contractions and the labor. But the normal du'as, you can put your hand, your abdomen, and you say, أعوذ بعزة الله وقدرته من شر ما أجد أو حاضر بسم الله, and you repeat this 3 times or 7 times, that's fine. Putting your hand, reading ayat from the Quran, etc. But there's no special dua. Next question, please.
Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum. Kindly request you to differentiate between a believer and a Muslim. Will a Muslim enter hellfire?
Not every Muslim will enter the hellfire. The hellfire, basically for the disbelievers. But if a Muslim is a sinner who committed sins, and he or she did not repent, then, and he died, he or she died, he is under what we call al-mashi'ah, the divine will of Allah. It's up to Allah to forgive him or her, or to punish him or her. Because Allah said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَنْ يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. That's what Allah said. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَنْ يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah forgives not that partners are ascribed unto him, shirk is committed, associating any partner with him, that is shirk. He doesn't forgive that. وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ, and he forgives what is less than the shirk. لِمَنْ يَشَى, to whom he wills. So this sinner who died, a Muslim, he was drinking alcohol and he died, or he was committing zina and he died, he or she, any type of sin. We treat him as a Muslim, we give him the burial wash and janazah prayer, and we make dua for him. And we cannot say he's going to hell, because this is Allah who decides, not us. We pray that Allah forgives him or forgive her. I hope this is clear to the questioner. Whereas the disbelief of the kuffar, they will go straight to the hellfire.
Assalamu alaikum, dear Honorable Sheikh. If someone is trying to practice Salatul Layl, but at times prays only two rakah, and other nights prays four or six, and other nights oversleeps, is that person on the right track?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely, because this is an honor. The Prophet ﷺ said, قِيَامُ اللَّيْلِ شَرَفُ الْمُؤْمِنِ. So the night prayer is the honor, is an honor of the believer. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and make you to wake up and to pray two rak'ahs. Alhamdulillah, that he loves you. Because others, they didn't wake up. You are singled out, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made you to get up and pray two rak'ahs, or four rak'ahs, or six rak'ahs, whatever. So when you pray, pray in twos, two rak'ahs, until you feel tired. And then you conclude with the witches. Okay, so you are on the right track, inshallah. So keep it, keep this practice. Don't stop. Next.
Jazakallah khair. That was the final question, Sheikh, if you'd like to close up.
Final question.
If you'd like
to. May Allah bless you, bless your family. May Allah protect you, protect your family. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate your status in this world and in Jannat al-Na'im. Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us our faults and mistakes and ignorance. And may Allah bless us with the beneficent knowledge and righteous deeds. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us remain steadfast in this beautiful deen till we meet him and find him pleased with all of us. Ameen. May Allah guide our ummah. May Allah unite our hearts in the haq. Until we meet, inshallah, in the coming session, I leave you in Allah's company and protection. Fi hifdhillahi wa ra'ayatihi. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.